Welcome to Career Tools. This week, professional basics matter, still, chapter one, timeliness. Questions this class answers are, why do old-fashioned professional basics still matter? Who cares if I'm early to a meeting or not? And you do know that Gen X or Gen Z or Gen Y or one of the other generations don't care about this stuff, right? To which the answer is, yes, we do, but we're going to explain why that doesn't matter. I know that December is a busy part of the year, but like every part of the year is busy. And if you don't get your management and communication training in December, then you start January in a hole without the training that you needed. So if you can squeeze the training in, we have three more opportunities for you. There's one more opportunity for the Effective Hiring Manager Conference in Silicon Valley on the 29th of November. And the 2 days following that will be an Effective Manager Conference and an Effective Communicator Conference. The 6th of December and 7th of December in Chicago, there's an EMC and an ECC. And in Washington, on the 13th and 14th of December, your very last chance for 2022 Effective Manager Conference and Effective Communicator Conference. And we really want to see you there. If you ever do anything where you get reviews, have someone else look at them and give you the generalized feedback rather than looking at your own reviews. Apparently, I laugh funny. But we often get accused of being old-fashioned and fuddy-duddy and stick in the muds, and we don't understand the modern workplace. And that's because we insist, Manager Tools, Career Tools insist on the basic values, like timeliness, are essential for professionals. And it's not often we try really hard not to say we're right, you're wrong. But in this case, we are right and you're wrong. But we're going to try and explain why. And hopefully that will help explain and help some understanding of why we say what we say and why that matters to you, even if you think the opposite to us.
Yeah. Our outline for today is very simple. Old-fashioned professional basics matter. And we're going to explain what timeliness means. It's that simple.
The idea that professional basics are going to go out of fashion is kind of laughable because organizations are made up of groups of human beings, and groups of human beings need rules in order to deal with each other. There are rules in your family of what time your children can wake you up once they're, you know, able to read the time or understand that, you know, when it's light outside, then they're allowed to come wake you up. Mm-hmm. Unless they're having a nightmare or they're sick or whatever, right? But there are rules that we set down.
And there's a time they have to go to bed.
Exactly. And there's, you know, there's rules about what they should eat. And there's rules in your family about who does the laundry. And you know, if you want an evening meal, you have to be there when it's cooked. Those kind of things. Because once there's more than one of you, you need rules, whether you call them rules or not. Or
some sort of framework.
Exactly. For dealing with each other. And organizations are built, you know, family is much more forgiving, you know, of each other, you know. But once you have organizations of essentially strangers in an office building or working together, you have to have rules about the way we behave with each other. And there is a reason, to my mind, that every religion includes that you shall not kill, you shall not steal, and you shall not commit adultery, however they're worded. But every religion has it for a reason. Religion is a man-made construct. Faith is different, but religion is man-made. And it's there to help regulate human beings dealing with each other. And murdering people, stealing, and committing adultery are the things that most upset us and are most likely to cause disturbance between a group of people. And that's why fundamentally every religion includes it. So once we've got past that, you know, we don't generally murder each other in the workplace, but we still need rules about the kind of minute, the smaller things as we rub up against each other constantly. We need ways to deal with each other. And that's what professional basics are. Because if they weren't there, we'd just do anything. We'd do what we like, and then we wouldn't get things done together.
Right, exactly. And if nothing else, just to kind of lead into this cast, I feel like a lot of Manager Tools and Career Tools guidance is around the idea or the concept of here are the things that, yes, you can do to be successful, but here are the things to not cause your own demise.
Yes, right? Exactly.
If you listen to this cast, among all of our other casts, it's more, you can't just be on time.
It's not the, it's not successful, right?
Yeah, but we're going to hopefully, as we walk through this cast, prove to you that there are some great benefits, but also let's just not be that person, right? Mm-hmm. Like, let's just not be the person that is habitually late, is seen as someone who has a blatant disregard for other people's time and other people and the consideration for other people in the organization. That's it, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's definitely don't cause negatives where you don't need to them. Right? And that lets your positives shine more.
Right.
Right. Exactly. Because if you're always late, but you have great ideas, at some point, the being late thing will stop people hearing your ideas because they'll be annoyed that you constantly waste their time and you don't seem to value their time. And,
absolutely.
It doesn't matter at some stage how great your idea is. So what? You know?
Yeah. Yeah. Just don't stand out as wrong or bad. Right? It's like a tire in an interview. Mm-hmm. We talk about that. It shouldn't be the reason they hire you because of what you're wearing.
Mm-hmm. But it also shouldn't be the thing that makes them reject you, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
So most people, I think, obey, and I'm sure people get wrapped around the axle around the word obey, but most people follow these basics. But there are other things that we do that irritate others and get in the way of productive cooperation, the things that professional basics address, right? Those things.
Yeah, exactly. And so in order for us to work together, we have to subordinate our own interests to that of the group, just like you do in your family. In order to have a successful family, you have to take your dirty laundry to wherever your family collects it, and then somebody washes it for you. If you don't do that, most times when you're a teenager, someone says, I'm not washing your laundry unless it's in the right room. And you learn that you have to do that by having no clothes to wear because it's all dirty, right? So you have to subordinate your own interests in order to cooperate with the family to get the outcome that you want. And that's what has to happen at home. So what has to happen at work too. So your preference may not be to be at work every day at 8 a.m. But in order to work together as a team, we all have to be at work roughly at the same time. And there are teams. I know there are teams that work asynchronously and they work around the, but they follow the sun and nobody ever talks to each other. They just send emails or project updates. But I don't think anyone can deny that when you're stuck with a problem and you've gone back and forth on email or Slack or whatever a couple of times, that you get into a place where you're communicating at cross purposes, but you almost don't know it until one of you picks up the phone and you say, I don't understand, why are you talking about this? And the other person says, oh, I had no idea that that's what you, oh, in that case, the answer is this. And in 2 minutes, you've solved the problem. Sometimes you never get there with email. So at some stage, it's helpful for people to be working at the same time so that they can have a synchronous conversation.
Yeah. Absolutely. The fact that you're at your desk at 8 a.m. is not just the responsibility caused by your desire to, you know, get your paycheck. It's also an indicator to the people that you work with that you're willing to subordinate those things, right? Subordinate your preferences, to cooperate with them, and that you're willing to do your part to make cooperation possible. And that you have a stake in the successful attainment of that desired outcome, right?
It makes me think of, you know, volunteer things like, you know, the PTA. If you never turn up, people have no faith that you actually support whatever the PTA is trying to do.
Yeah.
You actually have to be there. And it's, you don't actually have to do anything necessarily brilliant, but you have to be willing, you have to show willing by being present.
Yeah. Everyone knows in that room that everyone has other things going on.
Right.
Right? but everyone in that room has demonstrated by being in that room that this is important to us.
Exactly. Yeah, that's perfect. That's a much better way for it. So you might have heard that Gen X or Gen Y or Gen Z or whatever we're on now, I don't know what comes after Z, but anyway.
I'm surprised you haven't said Z. I keep saying Z.
Yes. I just spent a weekend talking about zebras and Zeds and people laughing at me, so I'm a little sensitive on the Z area. But the different generations don't care about the old-fashioned values of the generations that went before them. But this is a fundamental misunderstanding of the way generations and human values work. And I find it very frustrating. So when Gen X was 18, 19, or 20, they thought that their elders' focus on old-fashioned values were ridiculous, just like Generation Y's 18, 19, 20-year-olds and Generation Z's 18, 19, 20-year-olds did. By the time each generation gets to 40, 45, 50, they're focused on those old-fashioned values because now they've realized how important they are to the smooth running of an organization.
Interesting, right?
I went out at the weekend and there was live music. And I realized I had moved a generation up because I said, it's too loud and I can't hear the words, which, you know, I just sounded like my mother. But it's not a mother thing. It's an age thing. At some point, the words become more important and you want to hear them. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, it speaks to learned experiences, right? And sometimes, you know, when you're 18, 19, or 20, and I know, that was not that long ago for me, but probably longer than I would like. You feel like you know everything.
Mm-hmm.
And I understand.
Yeah.
Well, I know.
And everybody who's older than, who's 20 years older than me goes, yeah, I knew everything when I was 18.
I did too.
You know nothing.
Mm-hmm.
So let's try and explain this differently. So numerous studies, like hundreds of studies, have shown that adult happiness across your lifetime forms a U shape on the graph. So you're happiest at sort of 18, 20. It dips as you get to around 40, and then it goes up until you die. And the reason is because most people follow a similar life path. At 18, 19, 20, you know, you have no responsibilities, you have money because you have a job.
And a ton of freedom and independence.
Freedom and independence, lots of friends, lots of things to do, you know, so you're happy. And then your happiness declines until you get to 40, because at 40, you're dealing with young kids, usually, a marriage, you've bought a house, you've bought a car, you want to go on vacation, you're potentially dealing with older parents, sickness in parents, sickness in family, and so on.
You're usually at a career decision point because you're, you know, you've been at wherever you have been for a while or in the industry that you've been for a while. So it's either, you know, is this what I'm going to do, or do I take the risk of a change? And that's also a huge thing and a really heavy burden.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Just a lot.
It is. Like, 40, you know, and then there's, you know, all the younger, smarter, faster people that are joining the workforce, and you're thinking, am I ever going to get promoted? And like, that's a really, it's a rough age at 40. And then the good news is, happiness actually increases from there because you start to drop responsibilities. Your children get older and they're more self-sufficient. Parents, unfortunately, die usually, but then you're released of the responsibility for looking after them. You start to have more money because the children cost less. Part of it is you just get older and come to terms with, I'm not going to be able to do everything I ever want to in my life. And you just start being more comfortable. And then, you know, when you get to 70, 80, 90, you're like, thank goodness I got these extra years. So you become happier. And this is it's a very general trend. People who were 40 in 1900 or people who were 40 in 2000, they would all say, I'm miserable because my life is hard because I've got this list of things that I'm struggling with. It's not the generation, it's the age and the stage of life that they're in that makes the difference about their attitudes, their values, and how they feel about life. And to all the people who are high C's or who understand this data, this is mass cohort, longitudinal studies generalized to make a point. Just because you're 40 and you're the happiest person you know, that doesn't make any of this less true. One should not generalize from cohort data down to individuals. You can go from individuals up, but you can't go from cohort data down. And so just because you're the happiest 40-year-old you know, or you're the unhappiest 18-year-old you know, that doesn't make this not true.
Right, exactly. And in the same way, it's your current tenure, not your generation, that indicates the level of concern that an employee has about professional basics, right? So even if you don't care personally about timeliness or politeness or truth-telling or any of the other professional basics that we will or have covered, the people more senior to you do. And since, in general, they control the work you do and how much you get paid for it, it would behoove you to concern yourself with it as well. Acting professionally, whether you personally care or not, is something that separates you from those who say, I don't care, and I'm not going to be inauthentic and pretend that I do. Think about it from the standpoint of your personal life. Would you lend your personal vehicle to a friend you have that is responsible, who's always there when they say they're going to be, or the one who, we all have this friend, right?
Yeah.
The flaky one.
Yeah.
The one who, there's a 50% chance you'll get a text on the way to a meeting saying they're not coming, right? I mean, the answer is obvious. We all want one of those responsible friends, both in our personal lives and in our work lives. And I've seen this happen. I've seen this play out in personal life. I mean, friends and family who, you know, their parents are going through the estate planning process and writing a will and all that. Guess who's the executor of the will?
Yeah, the responsible one.
Oh, wow. What a surprise.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah, that's right. And in families, often the flaky one still gets the privileges, the money, and because we are ever forgiving of our family, but we are not ever forgiving at work.
Oh, no.
Okay, so one more reason why professional basics matter, and then we'll talk about timeliness specifically. So put aside for a second the idea of a crazy genius. All the people like Einstein, put them to one side. We're not talking about them. Now think about the most successful people you know, and real people, not celebrities, not people you see on the TV, but the most successful people you know in your personal life or at work, you know, in your company. People who, about whom it's said, they have their stuff in one tight little bag, you know, they have their stuff together. Those people that are generally admired for being smart, ambitious, getting things done, those things. Those people act as if they are in control of their own lives. They apparently do what they say they're going to do, remember their deadlines, answer their emails promptly, know where things are, talk in complete sentences, and they have a clean shirt to wear. To be successful and to be seen as successful, you have to at least look as if you are in control of your own life. The stereotype of, you know, ditzy blonde girls, sorry, all the blondes, it's not a blonde thing, but, you know, the ditzy girls and the bumbling professors are not seen as professional. You know, that's why Columbo was always able to get his guy, right? Because everybody underestimated him based on his persona. Those people aren't successful. And if you want to be both successful and seen as successful, you have to be in control of those basics as well.
Yeah. It reminds me of a saying, I don't know who to attribute it to, and I'm sure it doesn't perfectly apply, but it reminds me of that saying, the way you do one thing is the way you do everything.
Yes, absolutely.
Right? Mm-hmm. And so this, I think, is the perfect example of how you're demonstrating through some of these behaviors, some of these things that you are in control and that you're the person who pays attention and is aware of the details and the things that matter.
We often get feedback that it's amazing how well our effective communicator conference and effective manager conference complement each other, that the training that you receive to be a better communicator really helps you with management and vice versa. And the Effective Hiring Manager Conference helps even more because if you have the right people in your team, it's easier to communicate with them, they respond better, and you get better results out of the management techniques you use on them. So all three of them work together. as Mark says, it's almost like we planned it. So if you are an organization that just wants to make everything better all in one go and really benefit from how well these different techniques work together, then invite us for 3 days and we will happily teach your team how to be better managers, how to be better communicators, and how to be effective hiring managers. If you want to know more, email Maggie at customerservice@manager-tools.com. Okay, so let's talk about one of those basics, which is timeliness.
Yeah, and timeliness, let's be clear, it means more than being on time to meetings, right? That's the easy stuff. We talk about that because it's pretty simple to visualize. But timeliness really means respecting time and all the aspects of your personal and work life that it affects. It means not only being on time to work, to meetings, to happy hour, but being early enough to be settled, calm, and ready for that day, the meeting or the drinking. But rushing into a room, even if it's a Zoom room, at 1 minute to the hour, doesn't remind everyone that you're so important that you are back to back all day. It's more of an illustration that you're not exactly what we just talked about, right? In control.
Yeah.
You know, prepared, ready, right?
I love this quote by Hunter S. Thompson, which is, "Life should not be a journey to the grave with the intention of arriving safely in a pretty and well-preserved body, but rather to skid in broadside in a cloud of smoke, thoroughly used up, totally worn out, and loudly proclaiming, 'Wow, what a ride.'" It does apply to life. It doesn't apply to meetings. You know, you're not supposed to slide into meetings, you know, with a bunch of papers going, "Where's the right piece of paper?" And I'm having a great time. Like, that right. is not the image that you want to portray.
Yeah. We've all worked with colleagues that get the reputation as the Tasmanian devil.
Yes.
Right? They're just, they're a whirlwind and they're just constantly trying to find stuff and figure stuff out. So timeliness further means knowing deadlines on your work product and meeting them. It means being aware of the effect that your delay has on other people in your organization. If you submit your work at the deadline, which is 5 p.m. on Thursday, but someone else has to take action before 8 a.m. on Friday, I mean, you've just condemned them to a late night or an early morning of work. You can do this a few times in exceptional circumstances. Things happen. Mm-hmm. But you keep doing it week after week, and soon you'll find yourself with fewer friends, fewer colleagues, you know, a smaller network.
Yeah, and people who won't do you a favor because...
No, yeah.
Yeah, you just make my life hard. I'm not going to make your life easy. Why should I?
Right. And people don't always communicate that.
No.
They don't always say, "Hey, just so you know, when you turned it in at 5, you're meeting your deadline, but now that this, here's what it does to me," right? People don't do that. So respecting time means respecting other people's time as well as your own.
And in the big picture, a delay on a project for a company can cost millions. And yet we kind of abstract ourselves from that, you know, like mm-hmm. I think of, you know, construction work on roads. It's due to finish in June 2025, it is ages away, and, you know, and then it doesn't get finished until 2026, and everyone goes, "Oh, it's a construction project, that happens, right?" And everybody right. expects it to be delayed, and nobody really takes responsibility for it because it's so many people working together, and there's so many aspects of it, and there's so many things that can affect the timing and so on. But actually, it's a series, it's a million small delays caused by individuals like mm-hmm. you, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
It's a domino effect, and every subsequent delay makes things worse.
Absolutely. I remember when I was working in finance, the abstract concept was so clear because, I mean, we would sit down and we would look at numbers, we'd look at, you know, financials, P&Ls, and prospectuses, and we'd look at stuff, and it became so easy. I remember it was so easy to think of something as a $10 million, mm-hmm. you know, overage, and you forget that that's $10 million.
Exactly.
There's a lot of, I mean, that's, you know, yeah, yeah, sorry.
So one of our colleagues, our finance colleague for mm-hmm. Elizabeth, is buying a house in a subdivision which is still being built. So the house is being built. And it's currently on hold because somebody forgot to submit the permits. Now, you'd think that a builder that's building a subdivision and is building hundreds of houses would have a process for submitting the right permits.
Who's presumably done this before?
Exactly. One person forgot to do something, and now the whole thing is shut down. But her builder, in trying to make this sound better, had told her about another builder who had put gas ovens in all of the houses, like 100 houses in a subdivision, and the gas line came into the subdivision, but nobody had connected the two. And so,
like,
you'd think that if you're putting a gas line into a house, you'd say, where's the one that links this up? But nobody did. And again, it's one or 10 individuals who just cause a massive delay.
Exactly.
You know, your work being an hour late might not seem like much, and it probably isn't most of the time. But if that work is on the critical path, delaying other work, it can be the very first domino. There's another thing I just thought of. I don't know if that it happens here, but if you get traffic and the person in front brakes, and then the next person brakes, and then it causes like a 10-mile jam, and actually there's nothing at the front of it when you get to the front because it's all based on everybody braking for something that wasn't there, you know?
Yep.
There's nothing there causing that delay, and yet you sit in the traffic for 3 hours.
Right, exactly. And so timeliness means communicating with regard to deadlines, right? So we know we have deadlines, and we should know, and we don't say should very often, but if you know that something that you are doing or something that you're working on will affect other people's work, then you have a duty to tell them as soon as you know, not after you've done 18 other things. Most of us are not in the position where we're doing, you know, work like emergency medicine or we're saving lives. I mean, you know, where a delay could cause someone to lose their life, right? So we don't need to take ourselves too seriously. But on the other hand, we are part of the whole. We're part of the collective of our organization. And our actions, both positive and negative, affect that organization and affect the whole and affect the other people in the organization. And if you don't think they do, if you think that your actions don't have an impact on the organization as a whole, why are you working there? I mean, what are you doing?
Exactly. Right? You can't be doing anything.
Right.
And timeliness also means being aware of the value of time. There was a fashion, I don't know, about 5 years ago for meeting clocks, where you would have a clock that showed everybody's salary.
Oh, and you put in the salaries.
For all the people in the meeting and how much it was costing per minute. If you look at those, you know, five people in a meeting, it's a very visceral reminder of exactly how much this meeting is costing. But that money is being spent all the time. Every minute that you are being paid for at work is being spent. And if you want more of that money to end up in your pocket, which we all do, frivolously wasting it is not helping, right?
No.
The whole, you know?
I would even say it differently, Wendy. If you want more of that money to end up in your pocket, then that time needs to provide more value.
Yes.
Right? Your time needs to provide more value in order for that to make sense, for that equation to work.
Yeah.
Organizations aren't just giving money out.
I wish. But being aware of it, using the time at work wisely and carefully is a mark. It's one of the marks of a professional.
Absolutely.
Her professional basics still matter because they are the basic building blocks of organizational and personal success. And yes, you can find an example of someone with terrible time management skills who is successful. But we'll bet that they are some kind of genius in some kind of other way that the organization is benefiting from hugely, and therefore they're getting away. It's just like your teenager not bringing their laundry into the laundry room. You know, they're your teenager. You love them. You let them get away with it. If someone's a genius and they're coming up with patents that are benefiting the company, they can be as late as they like. But for the majority of us, who are not geniuses.
Well, I would say this, Wendy, if that's your experience, and I'm sure that a lot of us have that experience, someone always shows up 10 minutes, 15 minutes late to a meeting, but they just, you know, they make up for it in the ideas or the value or, you know, all the stuff that they do in the meeting. This might be a reductive way of thinking, but just don't set that bar so high for yourself, right? Because now if you show up 10, 15, people are probably going to be expecting. They're going to say, okay, well, you better be damn good. If you can just walk into meetings 10, 15 minutes late, I can't wait to hear what this person has to say.
You better have some amazing ideas. And you know, if that's not you, and it's not me either, it's way easier to learn to value, appreciate, respect, and be on time than it is to learn to be a genius.
Yes, absolutely. I had a college professor, management class, organizational behavior, and he said, being on time is hard, but you know what's easy? Being early.
Yes. That's right. You know, have you ever noticed if people are coming from far away, they're nearly always early. But if they're coming from like 3 minutes down the road, they're like rushing in on the last minute. Being early is actually easier if you're further away.
Oh, yeah. He would give us an analogy. He would say, if I gave you a bow and arrow and I set up a target 50 yards away, and I was going to give you $100 every time you hit the target. But every time you hit left of the target, anywhere left of the target, I'll give you $10. But every time you hit right of the target, I'm going to take away $50. Where would you aim? And everybody in the class was like, I would aim left all day.
Yes.
Like unlimited arrows, unlimited time. I'm just going to aim left all day. I'm not going to aim for the target because I might miss to the right.
Yeah.
And he said,
that's life.
It's the same with being on time.
Exactly.
Wow. Just aim left. Aim to be early.
Smart guy.
He was smart.
There you go. I love the word picture of that because now people are going to go to work and they'll be on the way to work going, am I a left arrow or am I a right arrow?
Right. Exactly.
Perfect. Awesome.
Yeah.
Thanks, Andrew.
Thanks, Wendy. Bye, everyone.
Bye, everyone.